This is Walking Your Talk, a personal development podcast about leadership, authenticity, and courage. I'm Carolyn Taylor, and I've spent my life working with leaders in organizations on how to change their culture. But this is much more personal. If you want to be known as someone who walks your talk at work and beyond, then this podcast is for you. Hello again, and welcome to this episode, where I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of what I call the innovation archetype, which captures all of those personal behaviors and mindsets that make up or contribute to an innovation archetype, as well as the benefits of the culture and what it'll do to your organization. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, the innovation archetype is one of the six which are featured in the Taylor Assessment, a tool we've developed to measure the likely contribution that would be made by an individual leader or a team or people who will be recruited from the outside. And when I was researching and building the six archetypes, which I initially described nearly 20 years ago now in my book, Walking the Talk, I considered calling this archetype learning. I settled on innovation in the end because innovation and different ways of doing things is really what this culture delivers. But learning is a core element of how it happens. Because the innovation archetype describes a restlessness to make things better, to never be satisfied with the status quo, to never really sit back and say, okay, I think we're good enough now, but always to be seeking that different approach, to experiment with new ways, learn from what, you know, what goes right, what doesn't go right, the failure, the success, correct, and then start over. So there's a whole kind of process of continually moving towards excellence that is present in the innovation culture. So what are the benefits that you will get if you put attention into doing that, into building those features into your culture? Many, really. I mean, staying ahead with your competitors, responding really fast to what's happening, contributing or anticipating changes in your marketplace which might hurt others who are kind of more wedded to their specific and rigid way of doing things. This pursuit of excellence or the drive to be the best. And other feature I think that's really important is the willingness to take risks, to be bold, to make mistakes, to learn and correct, which so many individuals and companies do find it hard to do because they fear getting it wrong or they fear ridicule, they fear failure. So then you end up with, you know, a non-innovative culture, which is kind of status quo, risk averse, a tendency to stick with things much longer than you should, an unwillingness to change course when it's not working. All of those things, you can see the impact that it would have on your performance and your direction, where you're hoping to go. So finding people with a natural predisposition to those behaviors and being one of those people yourself is a really important element of building the culture you want. You're likely to encourage it in the people around you. You're likely to not tolerate it when you see people being risk averse or sticking too much to the status quo. And this is where the Taylor Assessment can help if you want, because it can measure how strongly individuals rank innovation behaviors as their preferred operating style. So if the innovation archetype is attractive to you, let me describe in a little bit more detail what the core behaviors are that we've found are the foundation to those whose contribution are going to be the strongest. And as I describe them, do a bit of self-reflection. You know, to what extent are these behaviors an important part of who you strive to be? How much do you encourage these behaviors in your team? Do they reflect the kind of culture that you build in your team and what you're known for? So have a think about that, and hopefully from that you'll be able to look at how you perhaps put emphasis on some new things. So of the five behaviours in the innovation archetypes, two represent the two different approaches that people will often take to innovation. Experimentation is one and continuous improvement is the other. And you know, many people do both. Experimentation describes the behaviour of thinking right outside the box and taking bold moves, lateral steps, a sort of jump into the unknown. So not necessarily logical from where you currently sit in your current position. And the nature of experimentation is the recognition that some experiments will be successful and some won't. And that's the nature of experimenting. But the excitement, the drive to have a go and to be unfettered by that fear of failure and willingness to take these unusual steps in the knowledge that you can later correct course if you don't work out, that I think is the nature of experimentation and just to continue to experiment, to never stop. Continuous improvement, the second sort of way of innovating, is a more logical progression. So like experimentation, we've found that it's driven by a desire to find a better way, a pursuit of excellence. But this path is more building step by step on what already existed before and inching out steady improvement, moving towards this goal of excellence. It's disciplined, it's measured, it's usually planned, and the behavior is steady but relentless, never satisfied again with the status quo. So experimentation, continuous improvement, and the remaining three behaviors that we isolated and tested in this archetype describe the approach that those who do contribute to an innovation archetype will tend to take. And they are courage and learning and agility. Courage, because innovation does require the willingness to upset the status quo, and with that will often come some anxiety. I strongly believe that courage is fear plus action. So if you're not feeling some anxiety, which is a kind of a minor version of fear, when you take action to innovate, you're probably not stretching enough. So in a sense, your very anxiety is an indication that you are being courageous, and having the courage to be bold, to step outside of your comfort zone, to stretch to that point where you get the adrenaline rush, which is associated with anxiety, but also with a thrill, is a vital behavior for those who want to best contribute to the innovation culture. Then we have learning. Because when you innovate and when you experiment and push for continuous improvement, not everything is going to work out. You know, the definition of risk is that sometimes things don't work out. But can you learn from what happens? Are you willing to admit that mistakes were made and that some mistakes were made that you contributed to? So not just to blame outside forces, but to consider, what could I have done differently? Or what could we have done differently? And what will I do differently next time? What ways can I really acknowledge that the judgment calls that I made, or the plans that I prepared, or the way that I read or misread how the outside world will respond, the people who needed to be brought in to the efforts you were making, but because you didn't get their support, then made it difficult throughout the process. All of this, I think, is really valuable learning to those who focus on learning as a core way of how they like to operate. Learning is a journey in itself, and the more you find people who have that as one of their preferences, the more innovative your culture is going to become. And the fifth behavior for optimum contribution to an innovation culture we've called agility. And agility is the ability to correct fast and to mitigate the risks or the damage from those innovations that don't work out, with an ability to course correct fast enough that you pull back and take a different tack. And this ability, I think, is an essential part of innovation cultures and of the people who have the most success through their innovation drive. Because to be agile, you have to be alert to the outside world to pick up how customers or colleagues or whoever is responding to your experiments and your improvements. Are they landing well? So that sensitivity, along with a willingness to then face the brutal facts, if things are not quite working out, enables you then to quickly reach that go, no-go point and make a course correction if you need it. And that's what we see as the heart of agility. So that's how you can deconstruct innovation if you're seeking for that kind of culture, and look at some of the key behaviors that you need to be encouraging, nurturing, and bringing in to your team if you want to really strengthen that in your culture and in yourself. So I hope, as I've been talking this through, that you've been thinking about that self-reflection. But if you want a more objective way of assessing these characteristics in yourself or in others in your organization or in people you're thinking of hiring, then you should use the Taylor assessment, because you can jump onto the walkinthetalk.com website, ask someone to get back to you about how you could do that. So let's all hone our innovation skills, because there are so many opportunities out there waiting for those of us who are willing to break the status quo and go find them. And I hope that'll be you. See you in the next episode.